So this message is on different ways to overcome your fears when it comes to sharing your faith and sharing the gospel. Evangelism without love is a tragedy, and love without evangelism is hypocrisy.
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs the love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free.
How do we overcome our fears and live courageously like you want us to live? To live as others who have gone before us, the heroes of the faith who have stood boldly as lions and declared your truth despite heavy opposition and persecution, despite being thrown out of churches and thrown out of families and thrown into prisons, God. How did they overcome their fears? What was it that was in their heart that's not in ours, God? What is it that they were thinking of and that they were doing that we aren't thinking of, that we aren't doing, God? What are the differences between them and us? How do we change? How do we be more like Jesus and more like these great men who followed you, that we can follow them as they followed you? Lord, help us to overcome our fears. So what we need to do first and foremost is develop a love, a deep love inside of our hearts for the value of souls, as well as a love for God, that no matter what God asks you to do, you'll do it. A love that says that there's no cost that's too high, there's no trouble too hard, there's nothing at all that I won't do for the God who first loved me, the God who first died for me. And so it's a love for souls and a love for God, a love for the truth. I wrote a poem about love. It goes like this. It's called "There Is a Love." It says, "There is a love comes from on high that fills God's people below. It brings them joy as well as sighs and fills until it flows. There is a love that counts no cost in reaching the dying masses. Through eyes compassionate, it sees the lost and labors while time passes. There is a love, the heart it breaks for this world quickly dying. Internal pains and lasting aches, it sets the soul to crying. There is a love that hates all sin and delights in holy living. It speaks the word, the loss to win for the one who is forgiving. True compassion is that suffering for a lost and dying world. And so there is that love of compassion that labors while time passes. It breaks the heart and it sets your soul to crying. That hates all sin and delights in holy living. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we have this love? When we say that the love of Christ compels us, is that the love that we have? A love that really does hate all sin and loves all righteousness and holiness? A love for God that says it doesn't matter what he wants or what he asks you. If we're able to give it, we'll give it. A love that really does hate all sin and loves all righteousness and holiness. Jesus said, don't fear man who can only kill your body, you know, but fear him who can kill your body and then cast your soul into hell. Fears, whatever your fears might be, they look so trivial, so frivolous. When you love God and love souls and love the truth. Fears, whatever your fears might be, they look so trivial, so frivolous. When you love God and love souls and love the truth. Well, with the love of God comes the fear of God. What you'll fear is grieving him. You'll fear letting him down. If God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you'll fear hurting him. You'll fear hindering his plan, hindering his purposes. You'll have that fear of God. You don't want to grieve his heart. You don't want to do anything that makes him grieve in his own heart. And so it's a fear of disobeying God, a fear of grieving God, a fear of letting him down. That's what the Bible says, that God searches for a man who will stand in the gap. But how often is God let down? How often does he find no one to stand there in the gap between our cities and our towns and our countries? America is on a collision course with God. America is heading faster to judgment than any other time in history. America is on a collision course with God. It's like a train track, and you have the train coming, and you have another train going going to the same location on the train track. It's a collision course. So you have America coming this way, you have God coming this way. America wants to live in sin, disobedience towards his commandments, and God is holy. He says you must be holy. It's a collision course, and the only thing that's going to stop it is if America turns around. On those tracks, on the tracks of life, the only way that's going to prevent the collision course is if we start running with God rather than towards him. And so that's what America needs to see. We need to see that turnaround where we start running with God instead of against God. And God searches for a man, and we need to have a holy fear that when he comes and he searches for you, when he searches in your house, in your room, is he going to find you serious and sober, or is he going to find you sitting in front of the television, flipping through some stupid magazine? Is he going to find you on your knees? Is he going to find you in the Word? Is he going to find you out on the streets? When God comes searching for you, where is he going to find you? So you need to have a holy fear of God, that when he comes, he won't find you getting drunk with the drunkards, that he'll find you, as the Bible says, watching and praying, because he is coming. So you have a holy fear. You have a love of God, a love for souls, an aching heart that'll overcome fears. And then you'll have a fear of God that overrides the fear of man. The fear of man is so small compared to the holy fear of God. We need to remember that courage is not the lack of fear, but courage is overriding it. Courage is doing what you're commanded to do regardless of fear. You think a soldier that goes into battle, you think that man has no fear? Any reasonable soldier that goes into the battlefield, he has some fear. But courage isn't the lack of fear. Courage is overcoming those fears. Courage is doing what you're told and commanded regardless of your fears. And so that's what we need to remember. If we wait until we have no fear, we're never going to get anything accomplished. If we wait until just the right time that we think might come someday, where we don't have any fear of man or any fear of rejection or any fear at all, we're never going to get anything done. When we're tempted to fear, we need to say no. When we're tempted to give in and let fear dictate our lives, we need to say no. I'm going to obey God. Doesn't matter what my flesh feels. Doesn't matter what my mind tells me. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what's right. And that's when you start living courageously. When you overcome what your flesh tells you to do, and you overcome what your mind tells you to do, you live courageously when you overcome your fears, not when you live without any fears. How many souls are going to stand before God someday condemned that you could have witnessed to, that you could have ministered to, but you let fear get in the way? How many people will stand there in that day and say that you never told them about the truth, that you never told them they needed to be saved, you never told them they needed to be born again, you never told them that they needed to repent? How many souls will be there on Judgment Day and will be able to point a finger at you and say, you did nothing, you saw me in the grocery store, I worked with you, for years I worked with you, and you never said a word? How many people might be able to say that to any of us on that day because we let fear dictate what we did and what we didn't do? You know, fear is a tool of the devil, and it's probably one of his sharpest tools. Fear is a tool of the devil, and it's his most common tool, his most used tool. I don't think he ever has to put it away because it works so well. Fear is a tool of the devil. And when you let fear rule your life, you're letting the devil rule your life. When you let fear dictate what you do and what you don't do, you're letting the devil overcome you. You're giving foothold to the devil, and souls are suffering for it. And when you let fear rule your life, you're letting the devil rule your life, and souls are suffering for it. And souls are suffering for it. Another point to help us to overcome our fears. Simply see the world as God sees the world. So we see the world as God sees it. That every soul we encounter, every soul we talk to, every soul that we see is going to die and stand before God in judgment. And our job as the church is to prepare men for that day. That's our purpose. That's our calling, to prepare men to meet with God. I said not too long ago to a friend of mine, I said, it seems that the churches today are just heathen factories. And so we're in big trouble. We're believing lies. Masses, multitudes of people are lost like sheep without a shepherd, but they're heading to the slaughter, the slaughterhouse. And so we're in big trouble, and we need to do something. We see the world as God sees it. We can't fluff it up and try and see it the way we want to see it. It's not that bad. It's always been this way. People are pretty good. The churches today are just heathen factories. No program is going to help America like God can help America. Our answer is Christ. And until we see the world as God sees it, we'll never overcome our fears. We'll live in our nice, little, comfortable Christian bubble and think this is just a wonderful little world, and that things aren't that bad. Everyone I know is pretty good, pretty wholesome, pretty decent. Well, they got a rotten heart, and they need a new one if they don't know Christ. So see the world as God sees it. Don't fluff it up. Don't put on these special rose-shaded glasses and try and see things wonderfully and nice. See the world as God sees it, dark and lost and condemned and abiding under His wrath. There's a rainstorm coming, and we're not ready for the storm. The Bible says every time that men sin, every time that you sin, what you do is store up wrath for yourself that will be revealed for the day of wrath. It's like clouds gathering more moisture and more moisture, and the clouds are getting bigger and bigger and darker and darker. And one day those clouds, they're going to break, and it's going to be a downpour. And that's what America is doing today. That's what lost people are doing today. They go on in their sin. They're sinning. They're sinning. They're sinning. They're making the clouds bigger. They're making the clouds darker. And one day those clouds are going to burst. And just like in the days of Noah, the wrath of God is going to come crashing down. And the weight of that crash is going to shatter our country. And most of the church does nothing. The churches today are just heathen factories. Most of the church doesn't do a thing. Most of the church doesn't lift a finger. The churches today are just heathen factories. And America is in big trouble with God. So we need to overcome our fears and see the world as God sees it. Because there's a desperate need. God can do it. God can do it, but He works through men. He always works through men. And God's looking for a man who can stand in the gap. Where will He find you when He comes to you? Where will He find you? God's looking for a man who can stand in the gap. Where will He find you? Where will He find you?
And all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will.
What is a lost soul worth to you? What is the gospel worth to you? What is God's glory worth to you? What is the blood of Christ worth to you? Is it worth laying down your life, laying down your time, laying down your convenience, laying down your money, laying it all down and saying, God, all that I am, for all that You can do through me?
No, to Thee my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow.
You come to God and You lay down Your life. And you say, I'm tired of the silliness. I'm tired of the stupidity. I'm tired of just being entertained. Going to church and being entertained. Going home and watching TV and being entertained. Driving in your car, turning on your radio and being entertained. and I'm tired of living in a world of entertainment. I want to live in a world of reality. Things that really matter. I'm tired of the silliness, God. You lay it all down and you say, Lord, use me. Just use me. Don't let me be useless. I'll be an unprofitable servant, Lord, but don't let me be an unproductive servant. Just don't let me be an unproductive servant. And you come to God and you lay it down. You say, God, if it was worth your life, it's worth my life. If it was worth your blood, it's worth my blood. If it was worth you leaving heaven with all the praise and honor and glory that you had in heaven from all the angels to come to the earth to be despised and rejected, your beard ripped off and your back ripped open, your hands and your feet pierced. If it was worth that, Lord, then it's worth me giving up a good reputation, giving up a good name, giving up right standing with my job or my neighborhood or my church even. And you say, it's worth my all. God, if it was worth your all, then it's worth my all.
I surrender all, all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all, all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all.
Father, Lord, we do confess our fears. I don't think there's a single man that ever lived that didn't have some sort of fear. But the ones who made the difference are the ones who overcame them, the ones who took courage. Lord, we want to have that courage. We want to have that love. That love that'll go to the ends of the earth. That love that'll go and preach the truth. That love that just can't accept things the way that they are in our society and in our country and in our families and our neighborhoods, God. We want that love that just isn't satisfied until your purposes are done, until your kingdom is established here on earth. God, give us that love, impart it to us, that the love of God will compel us. Lord, help us to overcome all the fear of man, and help us to walk in the fear of God. Help us fear offending you and grieving you. God, let us fear letting you down. That will never be a disappointment to you. That will never be an embarrassment to you. That as Job, you can boast about us to the devils. And say, look at my servant. Not one that you'd have to try and hide because you're embarrassed of, Lord. That you're ashamed of. Or before the angels in heaven. God, don't let us be an embarrassment. Lord, help us to be courageous, overcoming all fear, standing on the battlefield and saying, it's worth it. It's worth it. The cause is worthy, and it's worth it to see the world. Lord, help us to see the world as you see it, lost, condemned, dying, desperately in need of Jesus to save them. Help us to see the world as you see it, to have eyes that you have, to have a heart that you have, to have the mind that you have, be more like you. To have a compassionate heart, a suffering heart. To be optimistic, Lord, and just to lay down our lives. Lord, may that take place in us right now. May that take place in our hearts, that we get to the point of decision and simply say, all that I am for all that you're able to do. That nothing in our lives or in our heart will hinder you from saving a single soul. Lord, even if you were able to save 500 souls through us, and yet for some reason there was one soul that wasn't able to be saved because there was something hindering you in our lives, a fear or a love of pleasure and entertainment and ease and comfort, that one soul makes it all a tragedy, Lord. So may your perfect will be done through us. Perfect will. Your perfect will. That we not compromise in any sense at all. That we not settle for the good when we can have the best. Just ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me feel the
God's looking for a man who can stand in the gap. Where will he find you? Where will he find you?